For I say to you, you who are thirsty, come to me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. For the Spirit has been poured out on all flesh. He is working in the hearts of men to draw them to me, to fill them with divine guidance and strength and power. So drink in, and let the rivers flow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Woo.
Of His Spirit, you get into a flow. All right? Now, we're not going to talk about that today. But any time that we experience the goodness of God in His Word, His Spirit is there. You know, His Spirit works to confirm God's Word. Jesus said, when He told His disciples to go out, He said, I'm going to go with you, working with you, confirming my Word with signs following. So as we preach the Word, I like to say it this way, the Holy Spirit does the heavy lifting. Amen? And without the anointing of God, no yoke could be broken or no burden destroyed. But through Him, we can have that happen. If you turn with me to Psalm chapter 35, please. Psalm 35. Hallelujah. We're going to finish our series today on prosperity pleases God. Can you say that with me? Say, prosperity pleases God. And many, you may not know it, but prosperity is a Bible word. All right? And in Psalms 35, verse 27, it says this, let them shout for joy. I love it because God's not uncomfortable when we shout for joy. Amen? He says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. How many know that God's got a cause? To preach the gospel in all the world. He says, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. How many are God's servants? Well, God takes pleasure. He takes delight. He enjoys when His servants prosper. And matter of fact, He has a plan to prosper us. And we're going over some practical ways that you can prosper. How many know that it's awesome when we can apply the Word of God and watch it work in our lives? All right? And go with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And we're going to begin with verse 17. See, there are ways that God will help us prosper. You know, we can prosper through giving. We can prosper through wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We can prosper through the fear of the Lord. We can prosper through righteousness. We can prosper through the words that we choose to use when we speak. Did you know that the words we speak make a difference? And we can prosper by seeking God. We can prosper by being diligent. All right? And the Lord showed me 8 ways that we could prosper through the book of Proverbs. So let's go. I think this is the 3rd or 4th one. I'm not exactly sure. But Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. The Bible says this. Now, it's talking about wisdom. It's using wisdom in the first tense. He says, I love them that love me. And those that seek me, when? Early shall find me. Well, they say the early bird gets the worm, so I guess that's true, right? But more than just early, I'd like to use the word first. How many know who you seek first will determine what answer you get next? Right? Now the Bible says, I love them that love me and those that seek me early. Let's just use the word first. I mean, because really, if you're first, you're early, right? If you're the first one there and no one else is there, you're early and you're first. So we can use that word interchangeably, can't we? There's something about seeking God first before anything else. When you have to make a decision in your life, you want to get God's input. And it's going to require you to seek Him. And sometimes that may take some time. You know, God spoke a word to me years ago. It was Galatians 3:29. And I wrote a little statement down next to that verse, but I had no clue what that meant. But yet God spoke it to me. But you know what? I continued to seek God. I continued to search God. I continued to look to God. What does this mean, God? Bring me understanding. And you know what? Greater understanding came. A greater realization. I had the understanding now where I can operate in it. All right? Let's go on. So those that seek Him first, what's going to happen? They find Him. Did you know that God's not hard to find? But it does require a little seeking. Okay? Riches and honor are where? With me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Is revenue increase? Amen? Is durable riches increase? Are riches and honor, is that good? Notice these are Bible words, and they're with God. They're with wisdom, all right? And they can be yours, but you have to seek them. Not them, but Him. How many know when you seek the healer, you get healing also? When you seek the Savior, you get salvation. When you seek the Prince of Peace, you get peace. When you seek the joy giver, joy comes along with Him. Right? So don't get your eyes on the object, get your eyes on the person. See, too many people, they're seeking the thing and they're not seeking the Lord. Now, the Lord wants you to have the thing, but He wants you to seek Him to get the thing. The Lord doesn't mind you having the thing, but He wants you to put Him first, seek Him first. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the object of our faith. Our faith needs to be in God, right? Our faith can't be in feelings. Why? Feelings are fickle. They change. It could be one thing one moment and another thing the next moment. So Jesus is the object of our faith, and when we seek Him, we get everything that He is. But we got to seek Him first. All right? How do we do that? Go to verse 32. It tells us exactly how to seek God. Verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me. Uh-oh. Remember the CB language? You got your ears on, good buddy? That was when CBs were really popular, you'd say, you got your ears on. That means, are you listening? Do you got your ears on today? Seeking God is going to require you to listen, to hear something, to hear His voice. Notice He says, now therefore hearken unto me, O you children, for blessed are you that keep my ways. How many want to be blessed? All right? How many want to keep His ways? Okay. To be blessed means you keep His ways. By keeping His ways, the blessing comes on you. All right? And it gets all over you and everything you touch. Now notice this. Hear instruction and be wise. What happens when you hear instruction? You get wisdom. Amen? Isn't God good? and refuse it not. Uh-oh. You know, sometimes someone could be instructing you, but you don't want to hear it. It's called being unteachable. Jesus is the greatest teacher of all. And his words are spirit and life. And if there's anyone that we need to receive instruction from, it's him. And he gives us instruction through his Holy Spirit, through anointed men and women of God. But we've got to, you know, what are you doing with your instruction? Are you actually doing what you're instructed to do? When Jesus needed to have an upper room to prepare for his final supper, he gave an instruction to the disciples. Go to this place, inquire of the man, say, the master's ready for the house. And you're going to find a man carrying water. And you're going to tell him. And that was an instruction. And they did what Jesus said. And they got the room ready. And it was just like Jesus said, but they followed the instruction. Now, here's how we seek God. Okay? Blessed, verse 34, blessed is the man that hears me, okay? Level one of seeking God is taking time to listen. Now, how many know, in order to listen, you got to remove distractions? If we were all talking at once at the same time, it'd be hard to hear me preaching, right? Because you wouldn't be listening. So in order to hear God's voice, we got to rid ourselves of distractions. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms 46:10. It says, be still and know that I'm God. There are times, there are moments where we have to be still, where we have to eliminate distractions. That's why God says, go into your closet to pray. Now, he's not saying go into the coat closet and pray. He's saying go to a place where there's no distractions, where you can hear his voice. Why? You know the story of Elijah? He was sitting in a cave, and there was a fire, there was an earthquake, and there was a storm, and God was not in all those three. But how did God speak to him? In a still, small voice. Now, if God speaks with a still, small voice, it's going to require us to develop our listening skills. Okay? So step one of seeking God is listening. Then it says, watching daily at my gates. You know, yesterday, I had the privilege of taking my boys to Hershey Park. And everything that Josiah wanted to ride required us to wait in line. We were waiting at the door. But how were we? We were waiting with expectation. We didn't really mind the wait. Well, yes, I did, but but we were waiting because something was about to happen. We were about to get on the ride. We were about to do something. And this was Josiah's first time. And the thing that he wanted to ride on the most, the trains. I mean, we had to go the trains first. Because Josiah said, I want to ride the train. So he got to ride two trains yesterday. But this is how we need to wait for God. Watching. With expectation. You're looking. You're looking for something. You're alert. You're ready. You're watching how? Daily. Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher. You're watching. You're looking. You're beholding. Okay? Then it says, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. That is the entranceway. How many people go to Walmart at Christmas time and camp out when they're about to release a certain product? People will take the time to camp out at Walmart just to buy an item. But what happens when we wait at his entranceway, when we wait at his doorpost? The Bible says, if you wait on the Lord, you renew your strength. Now, waiting in the Bible means not doing nothing. It does not mean doing nothing. It means actively serving. How many ever been to a restaurant? You have a waiter or a waitress, right? They come to your table. They're waiting. What would you like to drink? Would you like fries with that? Would you like some more coffee? What are they doing? They're waiting, but they're actively serving. When we take up a position of waiting at his entranceway, we are ready to serve. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to say today? I'm waiting for your instructions. I'm actively serving you. How can I serve you today, Lord? I'm available for you. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Talking about wisdom, talking about the Lord. If you hate wisdom, you got a serious problem. Because it brings death, the hatred of it. But we can wait. We can watch, can't we? You know, Deuteronomy 4:29, you don't have to turn there, but it says, when you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find him. You know, heaven is not a drive-thru. You can't pull up beside heaven's gates. Yes, sir, I'd like to order a large healing with some joy and some peace to go, please. And could you supersize that? No, no. See, that's not doing it with your whole heart. That's doing it so that you won't be inconvenienced. Sometimes, what did Jesus do? When he chose his disciples, the Bible said he prayed all night, then ministered all day. See, when you pray all night, you'll have such spiritual strength that it'll sustain you throughout the day. Several times, Jesus got away by himself and prayed all night long. He was a serious prayer. And we can learn a lot from his example. But we got to seek God with our whole heart. Your heart shows up in your effort. The effort that you make in participating in the things of God. You know, the Olympics. The Olympic runners, you never see a runner like this. Why? They're not doing it with all their heart. Someone that does it with all their heart, they're looking one direction. They're not looking to the right or to the left. They're looking at the goalpost, and they give it their all. Once they hear that gun go pow, they're off, and they give it their all. See, here's the beauty, though. When you seek God with your whole heart, you'll find him. You will meet with God. You will connect with his power. You will experience his goodness. Did Jesus give his all for us when he saved us? Then shouldn't we give us his all whenever he asks for it? When you don't feel like praying, pray. I remember Brother Hagin saying there were times where I had to drag my flesh, say, okay, it's time to pray. Because sometimes your flesh does not agree with its time, prayer time. Maybe you're hungry. You want to study your Bible. So you got your Bible. And the moment you open that Bible, your stomach goes, I'm hungry, feed me. Right? A pastor friend of mine in Illinois, he would read his Bible at night before he went to bed, but he would fall asleep. So then when he was reading his Bible at a regular time, he would be getting sleepy. So you know what he did? He would sit on the edge of his tub and read the Bible so his flesh would not be tempted to sleep. But let me tell you what happened to him. He was in a motorcycle accident and slid probably about 50 yards, and he got up walking because he took the time to fill himself with the Word of God, and that protected him. Amen? Oh, yeah, it's worth the effort. Say it's worth the effort. But see, part of prospering is seeking God. Go to Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. Seeking God is just one way. But how many know God's got many ways, doesn't he? Matthew 6:33 tells us very clearly. See, who's talking here? Let's just say the king is talking. All right? So when the king talks, those in the kingdom listen to what the king says. Because when whatever the king says is law, right, in the kingdom. Did you know that we live in a kingdom, not a democracy? Oh, you thought you live in a democracy because you live in America. No, we're not citizens of here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're part of a kingdom. We're just participating in a democracy while we're here, but this isn't our home. Heaven is our home. Now the king is talking here. Seek first. Everybody say first. The kingdom of God. Can you seek a kingdom without a king? If you're going to seek the kingdom, then the king is right there. Because without the king, it's just dumb. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Say, things will be added to me if I seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Do you believe that? What things is he talking about? Read the previous verses. I don't have time to go there. Food, clothing, shelter, things that you need in life. When you seek God, he will add those things to you. If you spend time seeking God, you won't have to go to JCPenney's to buy clothes. God will bring them to you. Let me tell you something. Growing up, even as an adult, I would spend time seeking God, and people would send me clothes. It works. Amen? So let's be seekers. Let's seek God. When should we seek God? When we get around to it? When we feel like it? First, before anything else. When a problem comes up in life, who are you going to call? J-E-S-U-S. When you encounter a challenge or a difficulty, who are you going to call? J-E-S-U-S. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He will never put you on hold. He answers every call personally. You will never get a recording in heaven saying, we will certainly get to your request when our next readily person is available, we will get to your request. That doesn't happen in heaven. All right? Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. So one way that God will prosper you is if you seek him first. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Another way God will prosper you. It says this in verse 4. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes what? Rich. I like that word rich. That's a good word. What does it mean to be diligent? It means to be incisive. It means gold as mind. Right? That's what I thought. Gold is mind. Not mine, but you know, the process of mining gold. You got to break the earth up. You got to, if you don't have explosives, you got to use a pick and a shovel, and it takes effort when you're mining gold, right? Or when you're panning for gold, it takes effort. That's what it's talking about. The word diligent, it means a threshing sledge having sharp teeth. That's from Strong's. It means a determination. It means to be eager. So hear what the Bible says. Slack hands. He becomes poor that deals with slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. What does it mean to be diligent? It means when you start something, you see it through to the end. Aren't you glad that Jesus did that? I'm so glad that he made it to the cross and he didn't stop on the way. I'm so glad that he finished the work so that you and I could experience all of heaven's goodness. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And verse 11. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that follows vain persons is void of understanding. Woo! If you follow all the people that you read about in the grocery store aisle when you're ready to check out, you're void of understanding. The wicked desires the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and recompense of man's hands shall be rendered unto him. How many ever planted a garden? How many ever ate from something that was planted in a garden? Those of you that planted a garden, let's say you planted tomatoes. Did those tomatoes jump off the vine into the sink, wash themselves so that you could eat them? Has anybody encountered a tomato plant like that? If you have, I want one. No. What does it mean? When you plant tomatoes, you can't just throw it on the ground. You got to prepare the ground. Isn't that right? You got to dig it up. Then you got to plant the seed. But then you're not done. Then you got to water it because it gets thirsty. And then if you get unwanted visitors called weeds, right? What do you got to do? You got to pull those weeds out from that plant. Why? Because you don't want weeds taking nutrients from your plant. No, you want the best tomato plant, and no weed is going to take nourishment from my tomato plants. All that, what? Takes effort. It took effort to come to church today. It'll take effort to come to church on Wednesday. Uh-oh, now you're touching on something, Pastor. That's okay. I'm not going to delve into that. Then the tomato plant grows, and you see little green tomatoes. Then they get bigger and redder. And then every time you look at them, your mouth starts to water for a tomato sandwich, right? But you've got to go out to that tomato plant when the time is right, and you've got to take that tomato and pick it from the plant. That's diligence. From the time you started to the time you finished. And what does diligence bring? Diligence brings a reward. You get to eat the most juicy, best tomato sandwich you've ever had in your life. Or if you like tomatoes on your salad, it doesn't matter. There's nothing better than a homegrown tomato. When my dad had some tomato plants along our garage growing up, and whenever we went fishing, we would clean our fish, take the guts from the fish, wrap them in newspaper, and bury them in those tomato plants. And those tomato plants always produce good tomatoes. I guess tomato plants like fish. Let's go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now that's a good kind of fat. That means anointed, right? That means strong in the Lord. That's a good kind, right? And then go down to verse 7. There is that makes himself rich, yet has nothing. There is no such thing as a self-made man. First of all, man did not make himself. God made man. So first of all, the brain that that man used, the strength that that man used, did not come from himself. So there's no such thing as a self-made man. Satan thought he was a self-made man, and look at what happened to him. He got kicked out of heaven. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. Yeah, how'd that work? Not so good. There is that makes himself poor, yet has great riches. How do you make yourself poor? You give. But then you have great riches. And then go to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 4. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase, everybody say much increase, is by the strength of an ox. What do the ox do? They pull the plow, right? The oxen are the workhorses in the farming community. They're the big brutes, and they can haul heavy weight. They can plow up tough ground. Elisha was plowing on the 12th yoke of oxen. Increase, much increase comes from the strength of an ox. That's diligent. An ox is diligent, isn't he? I mean, the farmer puts that yoke on him and he says, yeah, and that ox just goes and goes and goes, and that hard, fallow ground is plowed up so it can receive the seed. Amen? So if you want to prosper, be diligent. Be diligent about the things of God. Be diligent about reading the Bible. Be diligent about praying. Be diligent about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why? It could mean the difference between life and death. The Holy Spirit knows things that we don't know. And he communicates to us. But sometimes, I don't know how many times I've heard people testify when they're traveling how they just felt impressed or something not to get on this plane, and they didn't, and something happened with the plane. That's God trying to get someone's attention. But oh, someone might say, well, that's just the pizza I ate last night. Well, you're not being really diligent about trying to hear his voice then. All right? All right. Let's go on to the next one. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 18. No, let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. Then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 13. There is a very important tool that everybody has that will either add or take away to your prosperity. It is the most powerful influence in a person's life. It is this. Right here, this little thing called the tongue. I will prove it to you. Proverbs 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of what? His mouth. But the soul of transgressors shall eat violence. Why? Because they're always talking violence. Now go to Proverbs 18, 21. Some of you might know this scripture, and it's in the Bible. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the what? The tongue. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can ask God, say, why did you put that power there? And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Here's the thing. Words are designed to create. They create images. They create things. They speak things. How did God create this world? You know, he didn't like play in the sandbox And he didn't take his hand. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Just as the Lord has creative ability in his words, our words also have the ability to create or the ability to tear down. If you've ever been hurt by a word, raise your hand. If you've ever been hurt by a word in your life at one time, tell me not words are not powerful. Oh yeah, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words are never hurt. Whoever came up with that lied. That is not a true statement. Why? Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. It's hard to go to the palace when you talk like a pauper. But it's also amazing how words can inspire. Words can stir. People follow people who speak words. Words are powerful. How we use the words in everyday conversations. Oh, I know, it's real easy to put your Sunday speech on. You know? And for these 2 hours while you're here, you got your Sunday speech on and you answer the right question and you cross every T and you dot every I and you got, but you get in that car. Oh yeah. And the Sunday speech comes off and what is there remains. But did you know that that's where people miss it or not in their everyday conversations? Because what we talk about in our everyday conversations are things that we have put in our hearts. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart, what's really in your heart, will come out in everyday conversations. And those are the conversations that we get tripped up. We can come to a service when the Holy Ghost is moving and we can say, yes, Lord, I am healed. You had a sickness in your body. You say, yes, Lord, I'm healed. And then on Tuesday, oh, my pain. What happened to the words you said on Sunday? But that's where we get tripped up. Because we don't keep the conversation that originated with God's word. How long should we speak God's word? Until. Until what? Until. Until you see what you're saying comes to pass. How many times did Abraham speak his name in 25 years? Hello, I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham, I'm Abraham, I'm Abraham. Did you know that what he was saying was what God told him to say, which gave him the ability to have a son when it was impossible? But he did that by words. Every time he said the name Abraham, he was saying father of the multitude. Every time that word came out of his mouth. And there were times when he faltered. But God would take him outside and show him the stars. Say, let me encourage you on what to say. You mean my descendants are going to be like them? Whoa! And then once Abraham saw the stars, he was good. Right? Go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Are you being blessed or being made uncomfortable? In other words, you could say amen or oh me. It's so anyway, right? I'm having fun today. I hope this is communicating a message to you. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Listen to this. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. What kind of words? Pleasant words. Nice words, positive words. Every word of God is pleasant. Doesn't it bring refreshing to your soul and health to your bones? I mean, there were times when Jesus did not lay a hand on a person, but he would say. The Roman centurion said, Jesus, you don't have to come over to my house, just say. He understood the power of words. Words communicate authority. Words release power. If you don't believe me, go into a theater when it's crowded and yell fire and see what'll happen. That's a powerful word, isn't it? You'll be arrested, but and don't tell them my pastor told me to do it. But do you see the power that words have? When a quarterback says the word hike, that's what gets the offense in motion. The offense does not go until he says hike, and that way the center releases the ball and starts everything in motion. It starts with words. Pleasant words. I love that. There is a honeycomb. Honey is sweet. Sweet to the soul. Pleasant words do something to your mind, your will, and your emotions. Pleasant words. What's the opposite then? Nasty words. They don't do so good, do they? Words can influence people. Proverbs 20, 15. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. This is powerful. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Lips of knowledge. And my Bible has it underlined and it has the word thoughts. Well, words are just expressions of thoughts, aren't they? So your words influence your prosperity. By what you say, that's an avenue by which we can prosper. Ephesians 4 tells us, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. What's corrupted communication? Words that have been tainted by sin. The Bible tells us to don't let corrupt communication come out. How do we not do that? That word wants to come out. It's saying, let me out. No, I'm not going to let you out. The way we can stop those words from coming out is close the mouth. Isn't that, what a deep reality. Okay. The words that you use will affect positively or negatively your prosperity. All right. Let's go on to the next one. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. I discovered that this one here is talked about the most in the book of Proverbs as far as prosperity goes. And that is walking in righteousness. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. That word just means righteous. What does he do to the habitation of the just? He blesses it. He increases it. He empowers it to prosper. He blesses. How many want their habitation blessed? Well, here's the thing. We cannot be righteous without Christ Jesus. We can't use billions of dollars to buy our way into righteousness. All we can do to become righteous is to have faith in Jesus Christ alone. You cannot be righteous any other way, through any other means. You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, you automatically become righteous. When Abraham believed, the Bible said he believed God, and it was credited to his account as righteous. In other words, when he had faith in God, God went ka-ching, ka-ching. And in heaven, he made a wire transfer into Abraham's heart, and Abraham all of a sudden became righteous. You are righteous. You've been made right by the blood of Jesus. All we have to do now is to accept it and walk in it and be it. You know what the best vitamin for a Christian is? B1. That's the best vitamin for a Christian. I knew that put a smile on your face. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Verses 15 and 16. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tends to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. So our labor, see, when you become righteous, you automatically work for God. The minute you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you become a part of God's family and you start to work for God. And we're not saved by works, but we certainly do work after we're saved. Amen? That's the vitamin, B1. You know? Once you become righteous, then you got to be righteous. Right? What does it mean to be righteous? To do right, do what's right in his sight, to be on the right side. How many want, you know what? We all long to be right. I mean, we argue intensively to prove that we're right. We like being right, so you might as well be righteous because then you're right with God. You don't even have to argue. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 92 verses 12 and 13 says, the righteous flourish like a palm tree. Whoo, you go into a nice climate and palm trees just flourish. They're everywhere. The righteous flourish like a palm tree. When the righteous get put in the right atmosphere, they flourish. Amen? This is a good atmosphere to flourish. We need some more palm trees. Amen? So what produces palm? Did you know that palm trees produce palm trees? Sheep produce sheep, right? Amen? Some of the sheep need to start having lambs, right? Come on now. Hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 12. This is powerful. Proverbs 12 and verse 21. There shall no evil happen to the just. Is that not powerful? No harm will befall the righteous. No harm will happen to the just. But the wicked shall be filled with mischief. I tell you, righteousness is a good reward. Go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Verses 17 and 18. The merciful man does good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked works a deceitful work, but him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. Everybody say a sure reward. God rewards the righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? It means you now pattern your life after Christ Jesus. You walk like he walked. You talk like he talked. There was not one evil word spoken by Jesus. People couldn't kill him until he laid down his life. People couldn't stop him. People couldn't shut him up. People couldn't deter him from his mission. Why? He was righteous. He was right with God. And when he spoke, God backed him up. God stood with him. God defended him. God delivered him. And he will do the same for you because you're righteous, just like he is. You are as righteous as Jesus Christ. Ooh, that just knocked over some religious cows there. Jesus Christ gave you his own righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As long as you're in Christ, you are as righteous as he is. But it's when you get outside of Christ, then you start to get fuzzy. But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God made you righteous because Jesus is righteous. And when you accept Jesus, you accept righteousness. You are as righteous. Say that with me. Say, I am as righteous as Jesus Christ. That's true. You are as free as Jesus is. You are as healed as Jesus is. You are as strong as Jesus is. Why? When you're weak, he'll give you his strength. So when he gives you his strength, you get to share his strength. You're as strong as he is. Not apart from him, though. Not on your own, no. But in him, with him, yes. That's freeing. You don't have to work to be righteous. You just got to keep trusting God. Have faith in him. You got to walk in righteousness. When you get up tomorrow, you got to walk in righteousness. 10 years from now, you got to walk in righteousness. 20 years from now, you got to walk in righteousness. Sorry, you cannot take a day off of walking in righteousness. It now has to be a lifestyle. Doing what's right in God's sight. Well, how do you know what's right in God's sight? Ask him. If you can't find it in here, he'll show you. Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. That's powerful. We can please God. When you wake up tomorrow, you will have opportunities to please yourself, you will have opportunities to please the devil, or you will have opportunities to please God. And guess what? You get to choose. Choose who you're going to please. So as you walk in righteousness, Proverbs 15:6, don't have to turn there. It says, the house of the righteous contain great treasure. Say, great treasure. Great treasure. It's in the house of the righteous. Amen? Go to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. And verse 21. He that follows after righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness and honor. Do you remember when Jesus used Peter's boat? And in the account of Luke, when Jesus, or maybe it was another gospel, but when Jesus told Peter to cast his nets on the other side, and even though he didn't feel like it, he did because he said it. He cast his net in, and he hauled such great fish. He fell down in front of Jesus. He said, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." See, when you're righteous, you're free from condemnation. See, when Peter saw the goodness of God, when Jesus said, let down your nets, and I mean, Peter caught so much fish that they had never seen that much fish before. But his response was he felt condemned in the presence of someone that was, he wanted Jesus to depart, the man who just said, cast into your net. But Peter did not stay condemned. Peter accepted the fact that he was righteous. And you know what he did from that point on? He started following Jesus. Jesus did not come to condemn you, but he came to give you life, life more abundantly. And from that moment on, Peter followed Jesus. Did Peter make mistakes? Absolutely. Are you going to make mistakes following Jesus? Yes. That's why he put repentance in the book. When you make a mistake, when you miss it, you can repent and make it right. Listen, God made it so good that we can't lose. As long as we don't quit, as long as we keep believing, we cannot lose. We're going to win. How many winners do we have here today? You're a winner. Amen? Say, I'm a winner. Say, no matter what happens to me, I'm going to win. Because I'm sticking on the winning team. And I'm following a winner. Because when you follow a winner, you win. It's when you stop following the winner that's when you lose. Amen? So we can seek God. We can be diligent. We can walk in righteousness. And really, there's one more, and that's the fear of God. If you read through the Proverbs, it talks about how the fear of God is an important part of prosperity. See, when you fear God, you always want to do what's right in His sight. Fearing God does not mean to be afraid of God. It means to respect, reverence, and honor Him. Amen? It means to yield to Him when He moves. It means to give Him the precedent in your life. It means to put Him first in all things. And we need the fear of God in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes. I'll never forget a minister. He told his daughter, he said, "Now when you go out tonight, don't do things that you shouldn't be doing because God will speak to me." Amen? But you know what? Our kids need to see the righteousness of God in demonstration. They need to see it in us. They need to see our determination to follow Jesus no matter what. That's why when I enjoyed celebrating yesterday, because it was Josiah who touched God's heart. He said, "I want to go to Hershey Park." And I said, "Okay, well, let's pray." 3 years old, in that back seat, he prayed, and in the name of Jesus, amen. And it wasn't but days later, God heard the prayer of a 3-year-old. Guess what? God will hear the prayer of a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old, any year old. When you know you're righteous, you can come boldly before His throne of grace, with free from condemnation, free from guilt, free from shame, and you can talk to Him about anything, and He will reveal good things to you. Some of you need to be free today. Some of you are crying out, and you need to be free, but you don't know how to get there. God knows how to get there. The pathway through freedom is through Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. And if you need freedom today, freedom in your body, freedom in your finances, freedom from whatever emotional pain you've experienced, freedom is here today. Because the Emancipator is here. The Deliverer is here today. Amen? And He'll help you to prosper today. If you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you to meet Him today. If you walk out of this place and you don't know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, how do you know? You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do it today. Today is your day. Amen? So, if you need prayer, if you need freedom from any area of life, He's here today to set you free. Just come and drink of the living water today. I would invite you to come up. If you don't know Jesus, is there anybody here who would say, "Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I've never asked Him to be my Lord and Savior." Would you just, if that's you, would you just raise your hand if you're here? All right. It's good. I don't see any hands, so that's good. But if you need freedom today, I want to invite you to come up and receive prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen? Did you know that prosperity is freedom? It gives you the freedom to choose things you wouldn't normally choose. I'm going to give you a moment. Maybe you need freedom in your body. You're bound by a sickness or disease. God wants to make you free. Maybe you need freedom in your mind. Maybe right now, something's telling you, don't go up. Go up anyway. Go up in spite of what that voice is saying, because that voice lies. Hallelujah. God is a good God.